king sent for him. And he asked Jeremiah, "Is there a word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah answered, "Yes, there is a word from the Lord." And we're here this morning because there is a word from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. God, our Father, we come now to hear from you today, Lord. You are our God. You're our God that speaks to us in the stillness of the hour, Lord. You're our God that takes care of us. So we come now, Lord, to give you praise, to give you honor, and to hear a word from you. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And now, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord. Thank you for being my strength, and thank you for being my redeemer. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our preaching text this morning is found in the Old Testament, in Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, verses 17 through 26. If you don't have a handout, raise your hand, and the ushers will be sure to put one in your hand. But I'm going to read the text for your hearing. My soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The great Satchel Paige was a pitcher in the Negro Leagues of baseball. Eventually, he was allowed to play in the major leagues when they allowed black players to play. But by that time, he had reached an older age for athletes. He was in his 50s. And he was always asked a question about age. And his response would be, "Age is a question of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter." Then he did have another little witty statement. He says, "Don't look back. Something might be gaining on you." That's a good view for sports and for those kind of careers. But a biblical view about looking back tells us that there are benefits to the soul. And so for a few moments this morning, I just want to talk to you from this thought: when my soul looks back. This Lamentation is a lament written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He was a prophet that was a foreteller, and he would tell. And many of you are familiar with Jeremiah because there are some well-known scriptures about from Jeremiah. He was the one that talked about being in the potter's hands. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." And he's the one that said, "Is there anything too hard for God?" Jeremiah was one that foretold what would happen to Jerusalem if they continued in their ways. They were living in rebellion to God. They were living in sin and disobedience, spiritual adultery. They were worshiping foreign and other gods. And this lament finds Jeremiah in deep depression because God now has dealt with Jerusalem and Israel as to in their disobedience. And because of seeing this desolation of Jerusalem, it sends him into his own pity party. And in the midst of his pity party and lamenting in his soul, he begins to look back. You know, life sometimes helps us to examine biblical principles. When trouble comes, we have to look back and see what God has done. And so here in this text, we get a picture of Jeremiah going through the ups and downs of what he's dealing with and the ins and the outs. And so the very first thing I want you to see in this text, verses 17 through 21, is that when your soul looks back, you must remember God. Surely in verse 20 it says, surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. And so when Jeremiah is lamenting and complaining, he is one that is depressed. His life, he feels, is bitter. He can't seem to shake this deep depression that he's going through. Matter of fact, it just looks like his pity party is on overload. He remembers deep in his soul of all of the things that he's seen. And what is he seeing? The destruction of Jerusalem. He's seeing the death of his people. And because of all of that, verse 20 says, his soul remembers. When you remember in the Old Testament, it's saying, it's usually talking about referring to thinking about something or calling something to mind, especially a past fact or event. Now, there are a couple of ways to remember. There's a divine remembering, and that is where God remembers his promises, his people, and his covenant. It's like, why would God need to remember? He's God. It's not like he has to put a sticky tag somewhere and say, I need to remember. But the text in Genesis 9:14 says he remembers. He says, when I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature, all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature, all flesh. Divine remembering comes from God. God, Elohim, God that puts everything into motion, that put everything into motion. Now, when God remembers, he's giving attention to a situation, and he's intervening in that situation, and he's going to act on the situation, whether it's by grace or by judgment. He's going to act. And when we see God in action in Genesis 19 and 29, it says, so it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out in the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. God took action. And then in the New Testament, we get where he assures that we can have the power of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, it says, I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Divine remembrance. And then there's a human remembering in the Bible. It's where believers remember God's persons. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. We remember the death of the cross. Jeremiah here was remembering the worst. He was not focusing on God. He was lamenting. He had lost hope. He had lost all that he had valued. You and I can get in the same boat with that. When we've suffered loss, when we've suffered difficulties, when things have not gone right, we can kind of see where that would send him into a pity party. We can kind of understand how that would impact him. And when he would look at what was going on, his view was really not on God. It was really on what he was seeing. He was remembering the worst of it that led to his weeping, that led to his crying, and it led to him being despondent. And when you think about what he was looking at, you and I can experience the same thing when life just ain't going the way you want it to go. When life takes a downturn and you're sick and you can't get well. When your loved ones get sick and they've told you they only have a couple of days. When life gets to you and you're working the day and you get to work and they give you the pink slip. And you don't know where you're going to go. When life gets difficult for you and it's all zeros and no pluses. Life can take you out. And you can be despondent and you can be one that just can't see. And you'll cry out, Lord, what is going on? Why me? And oftentimes when life hits us that way, oftentimes for the believer, the last person we look at is God. We look at other stuff, especially if it's somebody that did harm to us. We look at them and we either gonna cuss them out, hello, or we're gonna give them a piece of our mind because they're the ones that have created the problem that we had. Not realizing that the problems that we have are our own nature, of our own sin. That's what Jerusalem was dealing with. It was their own sin. It was their own disobedience. It was their own disregard for God. And God dealt with them. And the prophet is seeing how God dealt with them. He's seeing the devastation with his own eyes. No one had to tell him what was going on. So he sees this and it takes him down. It takes him all the way down. And you can read Lamentations and understand why Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet, because he weeps over the land. He weeps over it and he has a very strong reaction to what God is doing. Jeremiah remembers what God is doing because he understood why he was doing it, but it didn't take away the pain of what was going on. He had a hard time with it. You and I would have the same hard time. And so Jeremiah deals with this in the first three verses there. He tells us he has bitterness. He's despondent. He can't really get it together. And then in verse 21, there appears to be a pivot. There appears to be something that happened in his soul. Because he said, my soul remembers. So when he started talking about his soul, something took place. Because in verse 21, he said, this I recall to my mind. He was remembering. Recalling is something you turn over when you are turning away from something and you're turning toward something. He says, this I recall to my mind. And then the text says, therefore I have hope. And he took his eyes off of what was going on and put his eyes on Elohim. Took his eyes off the mess and put his eyes on God. And when he put his eyes on God, the hope that he had lost, he now says, I have hope. Therefore, I have hope is what he says. And when he says that, that means that he starts remembering God's benefits. He starts remembering what God has done for him. He starts remembering what God did for Israel. He starts thinking about God's goodness. And when he thinks about it, all he can say is, I have hope. When you think of the goodness of God, it'll give you hope. When you think of all of the things God is doing for you, it'll give you hope. When you turn away from the bad and look toward God, it'll give you hope. Here in Jeremiah 14 and 22, it says, foreign idols don't have the power to bring rain. The sky does not have the power to send down showers of rain. You, the Lord our God, our only hope, you are the one who made all things. That word hope is a verb that expresses the idea of hopeful waiting. So when we have hope, we're waiting on God to change situations. We're waiting on God to show up. Somebody said to show out. So when God, when we have hope, we have hope in God. When you have hope, it's almost like you have a 180-degree turn. Not 360 degrees, because if that's the case, you're going to turn right back to where you were. But 180-degree means you turn all the way around and you look at God for who he is. And so Jeremiah has this moment. He says, when he remembers God, he says, I have hope. Then when he remembers God, he has hope. And then the rest of the verses 23 and 24, something else takes place. When he sees that he has hope, the next thing that I want you to see in the text is that when you see that you have hope in God, the next thing you need to do is to remember God's faithfulness. When your soul looks back, remember God is faithful. Verses 22 and 23 says, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He's now looking at God and he's seeing that God has been faithful in spite of. God could have just wiped him out totally, but he did not. So he's seeing a faithful God being faithful even in the right moment there. Now, while the devastation is bad, the reality is it could have been worse. And because now that he's taken his eye off of what was going on and put it in on God, Jeremiah sees the Lord, the steadfastness of your love has taken care of us. It could have been worse. And then he's discovered that his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And he then writes, great is your faithfulness. Now, faithfulness here in the text literally says the steadiness or firmness or abstract to the quality of reliability. Reliability. He realized God is reliable. He realized the faithfulness of God as he looks at the situation. He now is taking his eyes and putting them where they belong when he looks back on God. God's character, his faithfulness is his character. That's who he is. He's steady. God doesn't waver. He is who he said he is. He's constant. He's God, matter of fact, all by himself. He don't need no help. Now, I'm so glad that we can count on God to be faithful, because if he counted on me to be faithful, everybody would be in trouble. Now, you don't have to agree with me, but all of us might be able to confess that we've said to God, I'm going to do A, B, and C, and never got to A. Some of us have said, Lord, I'm going to be faithful and show up and show out, and we do more showing out than we do show up. I'm so glad God don't wait on me to be faithful. I'm so glad that he's faithful to me morning by morning. And when I get up, I can count on God's faithfulness. And when you look back, we see what God is doing here, and we look back and we understand what Jeremiah is doing. The faithfulness that we see here in the text is really not an isolated act. It's ongoing. That's what he says. It never ceases. It's an attitude that all of us as believers need to understand, that when we look back, we can look back and see that God has been faithful today, yesterday, and he will be forevermore. We can look back and see where he's been faithful in our lives when we wasn't faithful. We can look back and see that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we don't know where we would be. He's a faithful God. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 9, put it this way. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. He's a faithful God. I read a story about a son and his mother. And mom was a religious lady. She read her Bible daily and really sought to live and walk according to biblical principles. So one day the son was at home, and he decided that he would pick up her Bible and read it. Now, the Bible was well used, well worn. And as he looked through it, he saw that Mom had penciled in certain verses the letters T and P. She listed T and P. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. She listed T and P. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Then she listed TP. All things work together for good. For those who love the Lord and are called according to his word. And so throughout the Bible, she wrote TP. Now that captured the son's imagination. He's like, what in the world is going on with TP? So he said, Mama, I read through your Bible a little bit there, and I noticed that you use these letters T and P quite a bit. And so Mama said, son, I just don't read the Bible. I believe and obey God's word. And she said that T and P stands for tried and proven. God's word works. And everywhere she put it, she knew that he was faithful to his word. She knew that God, she had tried God, and God had proven every single time who he was. She had proven every single time that he was a faithful God. And so that's why Mama would put that T and P there to remind herself. Because when her soul started looking back, she just looked at that T and P. Oh, I did that, and he showed up. Oh, yeah, I tried that, and he showed up. So she reminded herself of what the goodness of God is. She reminded herself that he's Jehovah Jireh. She reminded herself that he's Jehovah Nisi. She reminded herself of all of the goodness of God. So when you look back, you need to realize that God worked out some things for you when you couldn't work it out yourself. God healed you when you couldn't heal yourself. God's been your bright and morning star. God's been your lily in the valley. God's been the one who took care of stuff that you just had to let him take care of, because you've been trying to fix it and all you did was mess it up more. God's been good to you and taking care of you, and you just need to look back and thank the Lord for all that he's done. And he's proven that he is a faithful God. He's proven that he's an always present God. He's proven that his mercies never cease. He's already proven it. And so when you look back, remember God. When you look back, remember his faithfulness. And lastly, when you look back, remember God is enough. Here in the text, verses 24 and 26, it says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. There's that word hope again. There's that word soul. So your soul looks back and you remember you have hope. That hope is that hopeful waiting. And when the prophet talks about the portion, he's talking about an inheritance. When Israel was given their own inheritance, and each tribe got enough to take care of themselves. And so he's reminding himself that the Lord already gave me enough. He already gave us enough. And the inheritance that we have is enough. And the Lord don't do anything else. He's already done enough. And so the prophet reminds himself of the goodness of God, and that's why he has hope. In Psalm 16 and 5, it says, the Lord, you give me all that I need. You support me. You give me my share. He's saying he will trust in the one who has been faithful to him and to his people, because you and I can always depend on God. May not be able to depend on that best friend, because they could turn into the worst friend. Might not be able to depend on big mama and daddy, because sometimes they just can't do it. But you can always depend on God. You can always call on him and he'll answer your prayer. You can always call him in your storm. You can always talk to him about everything that's going on with you. He is a God that hears your cry. So when your soul looks back and you remember that God is good. He's sufficient for all your needs. When you look back, you're going to discover you have a story just like everybody else. And with your story, you can help somebody along the way. You can help somebody to know Jesus, and you can help somebody to grow in him with your story. All of us got a story. All of us can tell our story. And the beautiful thing about our story, ain't no doctor title in there nowhere. You can just tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. You can just tell somebody that the Lord's been good to you, even when you wasn't good to yourself. You can tell the Lord just of his goodness all by yourself. Because when I look out here, everybody, I don't know and I don't see everybody, but I know ain't nobody in River Oaks. So I know you ain't kicking it like that. But the fact that you're in the house of prayer, the fact that the Lord let you get here, the fact that you're here clothed in your right mind, tells me God been good to you. And because he's been good to you, you got to praise him today. You let your soul look back and wonder how you got over. And how you got over is because of God's goodness and his grace. And I thought about my story. Now, y'all, I'm a third ward brother. I claim it. Glad about it. Born right down the street, raised right down the street, 3707 Ennis, in a shotgun house. My mama adopted five of us in a two-bedroom house. My twin brother and I slept on the rollout bed with mama. There was one thing that mama always did. She was a domestic engineer. She was a maid. So it wasn't a lot of money. But there was something mama always did. When we came home from church, we had Sunday dinner. I don't know how, but we had Sunday dinner. Sunday dinner was a full-course meal. But it was Sunday dinner. And somehow, some way, other folks show up. Where y'all come from? This for us. But mama would cook enough to when the other folks showed up, everybody got something to eat. The text talks about God is enough. And I would complain that, mama, they're going to eat up all the food. We ain't going to have nothing left. But somehow, some way, mama would take the leftovers. And Monday and Tuesday would be Monday evening meals. So mama took what was left and made enough. What you trying to say, preacher? Everybody got a story. And my story tells me and reminds me afresh that God is enough. God takes care of me. God has been taking care of me. God will take care of me. I stand here today to let you know that he's a good God. I let you know that he's an everlasting God that takes care of you all the day long. I stand here to tell you that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. I came to tell you that in Third Ward, there's a Third Ward brother been blessed by the Lord, and he's glad about it. And because God has been good, I let my soul look back and wonder how I got over. And how I got over, the Lord brought me through. How did I get over? God's love. Yes, he did. He brought me through. He's been faithful to me. He's been faithful to my family. And now, growing up, I didn't know we was poor until I got grown. That means mama, he took care of mama on a maid's salary. God's been good. And you got a story just like that. You got a story that you can tell somebody to how good God has been. Just let your soul look back and wonder how you got over. Pardon for sin, peace that understandeth. Thine own dear friend. Thine own dear friend. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Lord. A peace that endureth. thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings of mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, unto me, you got a story. Look back and tell your story. God's been good to you. Somebody, he's healed. You got a story. Somebody, he's fed. You got a story. Somebody that didn't have a job, you got a story. Somebody that didn't have a house to stay in, you got a story. Somebody that's been estranged from their family, now you're back again. You got a story to tell somebody. Look back and see how you got over. And you'll know that it was nobody but the Lord.
Praise God in this place. Praise God for that word. God comes through again and again. You got history with him if you just look at it. Everyone, if you can, everyone, if you will, please stand to your feet. You know, years ago, I was trying to open a business. And I went from bank to bank trying to get a loan to get everything started. And they kept telling me no. And it was at that point that I found out what a credit report was. A credit report is simply your record of how good you are at keeping your word. If you agreed to pay your light bill and you did it, you got good credit. If you agreed to pay back a bank for a car that they gave you, you've got good credit. However, if you did not keep your word on a regular basis, you got some canceled contracts because you were delinquent. You got some repossessions because you didn't give them people your money like you said you would, then you've got bad credit. Right now, I want you to reflect on something. God has the best credit ever. There is nothing that he said he would do for you that he reneged on. There is no way that he said he would come through for you and did not do it. If you look over the history of your life, you have no examples of God leaving you in the middle of deep water and letting you drown. It has never happened. How do I know? Because I'm looking at you right now. God comes through. Now, this is the thing with God. He has some if-then promises. If you do this, then I will do that. There is your part and there is his part. Right now at this moment, I want to offer somebody an opportunity to do their part and experience all of God's part. Jesus died for your sins. It's a gift that he gave out of love. Now, there are two things you can do with a gift. You can either accept it or reject it. You can say, yes, I'd like that. Or you can say, no, thank you. I don't think that's for me. So right now, those two options are on the table. Anyone in this room who does not know the Lord, the people who are standing down front here are open to receiving you as you come so they can help you link up with God the way he says you should. So at this time, as the song of invitation is sung, come on down. Come to the Lord. Experience his good credit and everything that he has in store for you. Don't wait. Don't delay. Come on down.
We offer Christ to you. My brother, we
bless you, sister.
Offer Christ to you, oh, my sister. He will give you brand new life abundantly. Oh, come.
All right, there's a QR code that's up on the screen. You can actually go to that code. It will walk you through the steps of coming to Christ, but also church membership is available. Prayer is available as well. Now, it is a misunderstanding when a believer doesn't have a family around him. If you are a believer in the Lord, you were not called to become a Christian monk. You're not called to be all by yourself, just you and the Lord. No, you're supposed to walk this thing out with some other people. There should be a family around you that's helping you grow up, a family that's helping you refine your structure as a believer so that you can go and share with somebody else. This is a good family, y'all. This is a family of believers that have love. This is a family that will walk with you through the fire. I've been through some of the toughest times in my life at this church and found out how much brothers actually care. So if you know you need a church home, this invitation is for you. If you just need prayer, this invitation is for you. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, the Lord is there. There are people who will walk with you, pray for you, pray with you to get you through whatever it is you're dealing with. So as we sing this song again, don't wait, don't delay. Come on down.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We offer Christ to you, oh my sister. He will give you brand new life.
Let us pray. God our Father, we thank you for the word that was given. We thank you for the insight that was shared. Father, we ask that you would continue to let our souls look back on all that you have done and all that you have been. Please continue to grow us and keep us close to you, God. Please continue to open our hearts and minds to everything that you have for us. Even in tough times, Father, let us remember that you are still good. Nothing has changed and nothing ever will. Father, we thank you for those that came. Father, we thank you for the hearts that were opened. We thank you for the seeds that were planted. Please continue to let your work go forth at all times. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Good Hope family, you may be seated. And it is time for the